Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. So, of course, I'm very dull person, but when you read this verse, I think you sort of get a hint or a glimmer that this was something that was stated in a state of transcendental ecstasy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had always been this staunch impersonalist, and yet when he realized, and anyway, it there's a lot of ironies in this story, because he was such a great scholar that he considered, he was in a position of scholarship so great that the formerly this Nyaya philosophy and that was he was an expert in, because he had studied under one of the most famous professors in Mathila, and no, that professor wouldn't allow anyone to write down whatever he taught, so he could sort of keep his position. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya memorized all of his teachings, and then he went and started his own school and became famous all over India. And he actually instructed sannyasis. So the sannyasis would come to him to learn Vedanta. So you can just try to... He was the chief pandit of King Prataparudra. His word, if he said anything, immediately people would follow whatever he said. He had such a position in society. His authority was considered to be unquestionable. So this is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So you can just imagine, he goes from thinking that he's in a position of instructing Lord Chaitanya and sort of straightening out this young fellow that probably shouldn't have taken sannyas because he was too good looking and too young. So he was going to try to help him out by fixing him up in Vedanta, according to the Sharirak Bhasya and all the writings of Shankaracharya. And then in the midst of all this, this incredible revelation takes place. So Prabhupada writes briefly a purport to this verse. He says this verse and the following verse are included in the Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka by Sri Kavi Kanapur. So, of course, he had his own book of verses also, which we'll discuss. So I have some extensive notes here, which I won't try to, read all of them, because I don't think we'd have enough time, but I tend to over-prepare due to insecurity. So this is a verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes a little bit about the identity and background of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is from the Adi Lila, 10th chapter. And it states, There was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, one of the biggest branches of the tree of the Lord, and his sister's husband, Sri Gopinathacharya. The original name of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Vasudeva Bhattacharya. His place of birth, which is known as Vidyanagara, is about 2.5 miles away from the Navadvip railway station, or Chanbahati railway station. His father was a very celebrated man of the name Maheshwara Visharada. It is said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest logician of his time in India. So, greatest logician in all of India, that's quite a statement. At Mithila in Bihar, he became a student of a great professor named Pakshadara Mishra, who did not allow any student to note down his explanations of logic. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so talented, however, that he learned the explanations by heart. And when he later returned to Navadvip, he established a school for the study of logic thus diminishing the importance of Mithila. So we know historically that Navadvipa was the place where Nyaya, or logic, was extensively taught, and people came from all over India to study there. And Prabhupada writes, students from various parts of India still come to Navadvipa to study logic. According to some authoritative opinions, the celebrated logician Raghunath Shiromani was also a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's. In effect, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became the leader of all students of logic. So, although he was a grihastha, householder, he even taught many sannyasis in the knowledge of logic. He started a school at Jagannath Puri for the study of Vedanta philosophy, of which he was a great scholar. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised the Lord to learn Vedanta philosophy from him. Now, this is interesting, too, because this is a theme that I think we often find in practical life, that if you're going to give someone advice, you should first, you know, see if they want it. In other words, if you're inspired to advise someone who hasn't asked you for advice, it usually doesn't have a good effect. I don't know if that's your practice, at least that's my practical experience. If you start advising someone as to what they should do with their lives, who hasn't asked you for that advice, it's a little, sometimes the result is not very good. So, which is part of the lesson that comes out of this pastime. I mean, it comes out very favorably for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya due to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated him with great respect as an elder. And even there was a family connection, because the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the grandfather of Lord Chaitanya were classmates. So once he discovered this connection, he developed a very paternal feeling towards Lord Chaitanya. But he thought, I'm in the position of an elder, a superior, this young sannyasi, I should help him out. Now, don't get me wrong, in terms of etiquette, his behavior was impeccable. As we'll see in the various pastimes that we're going to hear. But still, he thought of himself as being in a very superior position, in a position to help guide this very young sannyasi. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so fortunate as to see the six-armed form of Lord Chaitanya known as Shadbhuja. A Shadbhuja deity is still situated at one end of the Jagannath temple. Daily Sankirtan performances take place in this part of the temple. The meeting of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with Lord Chaitanya is vividly described in Madhya Lila chapter 6. He wrote a book of 100 verses named Chaitanya Shataka or Sushloka Shataka. Two other verses he wrote, beginning with the words Vairagya Vijanak Nija Bhakti Yoga, which is the one on the board here, and Kalan Ashtang Bhakti Yogam Nijang Yaha, are very famous among Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The Gaura Gunadish Deepika states that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an incarnation of Brihaspati. So this is the spiritual master of the Devas. So he was quite an extraordinary personality, descended from the higher planets. Gopinathacharya, who belonged to a respectable Brahmana family, was also an inhabitant of Navadvipa and a constant companion of the Lord. He was the husband of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's sister. So they had quite an intimate relationship. And it describes in one place that their relationship was kind of interesting, because it consisted of Gopinathacharya. They probably use the word blaspheming him. In other words, he would heavily criticize him, joke with him, and preach to him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya always discussed everything in terms of the revealed scriptures. So they never became offended with each other. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so confident that he didn't really take Gopinathacharya's instructions entirely seriously. So that will also come out. So that's the little description of the history, or you could say the background, of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, when Lord Chaitanya first arrived in Puri, you know that he went to see the Lord Jagannath. And practically as soon as he entered the temple, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. And he fell down on the ground and was unconscious. So it's described that the custodians of the temple, they didn't know what to do. They had never experienced anything quite like this before. All of his life symptoms seemed to be absent, so they weren't quite sure whether he was living or dead. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he was such a learned person, scholarly person, he could understand that this was not an ordinary thing, his state of ecstasy, his being unconscious, having had the darshan of the Lord. He said this was extraordinary. And so, it says he could understand that such a transcendental trance was only rarely exhibited, and only then by the topmost devotees who were already on the transcendental plane, in complete forgetfulness of material existence. So he had that much insight. He could understand this is a great personality. This is not an ordinary thing, this fainting or becoming unconscious in the presence of the Lord. So he asked that Lord Chaitanya be transferred to his home because he wanted to examine him to see if, you know, his analysis is correct. You know, he was... Prabhupada actually describes him as a scientist, that he approached the unconscious condition of Lord Chaitanya in a very scientific way. There's a description, and Prabhupada writes it in this way. And I like the language that Prabhupada uses in different places. And this is from the first canto, the introduction, where he describes these incidents with Sarvabhauma in kind of it's like the Reader's Digest version of this lila that takes place. It's described more fully in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he says that he tested all the symptoms in the light of the shastras. He tested as a scientist, not as a foolish sentimentalist. He observed the movement of the stomach, the beating of the heart, and the breathing of the nostrils. He also felt the pulse of the Lord and saw that all his bodily activities were in complete suspension. When he put a small cotton swab before the nostrils, he found there was a slight breathing as the fine fibers of cotton moved slightly. So that was the only life symptom that was present. Just these fibers of the cotton were moving slightly. Thus he came to know that the Lord's unconscious trance was genuine, and he began to treat him in the prescribed fashion. Well, Prabhupada doesn't elaborate on what that prescribed fashion was, but whatever it wasn't effective. Lord Chaitanya was completely unaffected by his ministrations. So he didn't know that there was a special treatment required. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually there's a description of these symptoms. This is from the sixth chapter of Madhya Lila. It says that upon seeing the sign of Sudipta Sattvika, Sarvabhauma Acharya could immediately understand the transcendental ecstatic transformation in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a sign takes place only in the bodies of eternally liberated devotees. So he immediately understood, because he was a very learned person. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it gives quite an elaborate description of these stages of transformation in the body of his advanced devotees. It says these different kinds of ecstasy, it says sometimes they're checked by the devotee, and there are two stages of such checking, technically known as Dumayita and Jvalita. The Dumayita smoking stage is exhibited when only one or two transformations are slightly present. So it's still possible to conceal that ecstasy at that stage. Then it says, when more than two or three transcendental transformations are manifest, and it is still possible to conceal them, although with great difficulty. This stage is called Jvalita, lighted. So this is, you know, we sometimes say a person is lit up. Well, this is a kind of a lighted state. When four or five symptoms are exhibited, the dipta, blazing stage, has been reached. When five, six, or all eight symptoms are simultaneously manifest, that position is called udipta, inflamed. And when all eight symptoms are multiplied 1,000 times, and all are visible at once, the devotee is in the sudipta, intensely inflamed stage. Well, the only persons that can actually exhibit these sort of symptoms, Prabhupada describes in the purport, are the eternal associates of the Lord, the gopis. They're the only ones that generally exhibit such symptoms. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was pretty impressed. He still didn't grasp who he was dealing with, but he was impressed that this is an elevated devotee. So, then he also observed, he says, the uncommon ecstatic symptoms of Ariruddha Bhava are appearing in the body of Lord Chaitanya. Well, he didn't call him, he's the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very wonderful. How are they possible in the body of a human being? So then that was where he should have realized it wasn't a human being. But he still hadn't quite figured that. He was startled trying to figure it out. How could a human being have such symptoms? So Rupa Goswami and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describe that this bhava, this very intensified ecstasy, bhava. When it's very intensified, it's called mahabhava. So that is the state of the eternal associates of Krishna and Vrindavan, this mahabhava ecstasy. So in the meantime, that's the way they used to do in the movies, you know, in the meantime, in the old silent films. The Lord Chaitanya's associates showed up because they were in great anxiety. They didn't know where the Lord had disappeared to, and they managed to contact Gopinathacharya, who was friendly with Gadadhar Pandit, and they learned where Lord Chaitanya had been taken, to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, Gopinathacharya was a great soul, and he was an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So they all came to the house of Sarvabhauma, and when Nityananda Prabhu appeared, Sarvabhauma immediately offered his obeisances. So it shows that this is a very refined person, actually, very cultured man. He came from, not only did he come from a nice family, but he was very well educated, and he behaved himself in a very humble way. Whenever a sannyasi was present, he never sat on an equal level. Even though he instructed sannyasis, he would sit on the ground and give the sannyasi the seat of honor. So he always paid, you know, due respect. And he offered obeisance immediately when he saw Lord Nityananda. So he accepted him as his guest of honor. He arranged for prasadam. He asked him, first go take bath in the ocean, and then come back and I'll feed you Jagannath prasad. So he arranged for prasad. He fed all the devotees sumptuously. Lord Chaitanya was objecting that you should just give me some boiled vegetables. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, just this one time, maybe you could eat all these wonderful milk preparations that have been prepared for Lord Jagannath. So he more or less used his position as an elder to get Lord Chaitanya to do what he wanted. So they fed them sumptuously. And then there ensued a debate between Gopinathacharya and Sarvabhauma. And Gopinathacharya was trying to establish that Lord Chaitanya was not just a great devotee, he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was quoting different kinds of evidence. Bhattacharya said, how can he be an incarnation? Lord Vishnu is Triyuga. He only appears in three yugas, not in this one. And Gopinathacharya said, look, yes, as a Leela avatar, he doesn't appear but in three yugas, but as a Yuga avatar, he has appeared in this yuga. And he cited evidence from Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam to back it up. And he gave him so many different kinds of evidence. And finally he told Sarvabhauma, he said, "And you can't understand the position of Lord Chaitanya by logic and argument. He said, unless he gives you his mercy, you'll never understand anything about him." And indirectly, although it was all on the basis of Shastra, he called Sarvabhauma a fool. But Sarvabhauma didn't take it very seriously because they had that type of relationship where one could say anything they liked to the other, which is a very kind of nice relationship, actually. If you have a friend that's enough of a friend that he can say whatever he likes to you and you can say whatever you like to him with that person's self-interest at heart, then it's a very nice relationship. So they had that. It says, both of them argued from the angle of vision of authentic Shastras and not on the strength of sentimental vox populi, the vote of the populace or the opinion of the mass of people. So, in this way, they both discussed everything on this level, but Sarvabhauma was still not convinced. So later on, as their relationship increased, now in the meantime, Sarvabhauma had arranged places for everybody to stay, and arranged for prasadam and made all kinds of nice arrangements for everybody's welfare. And it turned out that hadn't known this, but about the family relationship, because of Nilambara Chakravarti, the maternal grandfather of Lord Chaitanya, and his father being classmates, then he felt a very paternal sort of feeling, and therefore he wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya because he thought this person is very naive, he's very young, he's very good looking. As we know, Lord Chaitanya was an extremely beautiful-looking personality. And he was thinking, he's never going to make it. Just like a lot of times these days, too, we can see in our movement, sometimes somebody wants to take sannyas at an early age. Sometimes it provides difficulty. They have some difficulties. So he was worried about that, so he wanted to fix him up in Vedanta. So he desired that he hear from him about Vedanta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to it very humbly. He said, "I accept you as my, you know, like my father, like my elder, so whatever you say, I should do that." So for 7 days, he spoke to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya didn't utter a word. He just sat and listened. And so, when he asked Lord Chaitanya, "Why aren't you saying anything? What is the meaning of this? I've been instructing you on Vedanta continuously for 7 days. You haven't uttered a single question. You haven't said a word. Do you not understand what I've been saying?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, actually, these shlokas from Vedanta Sutra are perfectly clear." He said, "But your explanations, I can't make anything out of them. They don't make any sense to me." So Bhattacharya wanted to know, well, what's your explanation? Now you see, now we come to that point. Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything to him until he was asked. He didn't attempt to instruct Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, unlike Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was instructing even without, you know, being asked to. He gave his assent, but it was he wanted to teach him, and Lord Chaitanya said, whatever you like. But now, Sarvabhauma is saying, "Well, what's your idea?" Well, that opened the door. So the Lord, In Prabhupada's writing here, he refers to Shankaracharya as a popular Vedantist. So he was the popular Vedantist of the time. The taking of sannyas, all the etiquette of sannyas was pretty much promulgated by the impersonalist school. Lord Chaitanya's initial response was, "My dear sir, I can understand the meaning of the sutras like Janmadyasya Yataha, Shastra Yonitvat, and Atato Brahmagyasa of the Vedanta Sutra, but when you explain them in your own way, it becomes difficult for me to follow them. The purpose of the Shastras is already explained in them, but your explanations are covering them with something else. You do not purposely take the direct meaning of the sutras, but indirectly give your own interpretations. So, he says, Srila Vyasadeva summarized the direct meaning of the mantras in the Upanishads in the Vedanta Sutra. Unfortunately, you do not take their direct meaning. The authority of the Vedas is unchallengeable and stands without any question of doubt, and whatever is stated in the Vedas must be accepted completely, otherwise one challenges the authority of the Vedas. Now, there's quite a lengthy philosophical exchange that takes place here, where Lord Chaitanya, in very simple terms, at least the way Prabhupada's presented it, I mean, obviously, to put in a perfect and complete defeat of Mayavad philosophy, as we see in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a very extensive philosophical exposition. But the way Prabhupada summarizes it here in the first canto, if anybody says, well, I can't understand all these arguments, just go to that first canto explanation. There's not really enough time here to read it, but Lord Chaitanya completely defeats. Actually, Sarvabhauma came back with so many arguments. The argumentation went on for some time. So then, as this was going on, Lord Chaitanya reveals something that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not aware of. I mean, there were many things he was telling him that he wasn't aware of. But then the thing that really stopped him cold is that he said that Shankaracharya actually admits in the Padma Purana that he's come to this world, Lord Shiva, who is actually the personality that Shankaracharya descended, Lord Shiva himself descended, to propagate a philosophy of covered Buddhism. And he actually cited several verses proving this. So that really stunned him. He didn't know what to say. It says the Bhattacharya was struck with wonder and awe and regarded him in dead silence. He just became speechless, which apparently for him was a fairly extraordinary event, that he couldn't speak. He'd heard philosophy that he'd never heard before. Every single point of whatever he'd been propagating for many years had been smashed. I mean, in a nice way. Lord Chaitanya was very elegant in his presentation. But then he explained to him that this is an illusory philosophy that Lord Shiva's descended particularly to. It's like a kind of covered Buddhism in order to reestablish the Vedic literature. But it's not meant to be taken seriously. So, when he was speechless, then the Lord gave him an assurance. He said, I say that devotional service under the personality of Godhead is the highest goal of human life. So, sometimes people say, well, what's your point? You know, you have a whole series of arguments, and they're not quite sure what to say next. And so then they basically say, well, what's your point? Just like one time, Prabhupada was giving a talk, and someone from the audience challenged that, I don't think that you can, well, at first he challenged that you say that Krishna is God, but this is just some sentiment. I want to hear logic. So then for the next part of his answer, Prabhupada used logic to establish that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gave a very logical argument establishing him as divinity. So then the man was a little flummoxed and he said, well, I don't think you can prove everything by logic. So Prabhupada's reply was, yes, but you've asked for logic, therefore I've given you logic. Then the man said, well, what is your point? And Prabhupada said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Take it! So in a similar way, Lord Chaitanya has responded to all the argumentation and all the discussion. Well, kind of, what is your point? And he says, the point, I say, the devotional service under the personality of God, it is the highest goal of human life. And he quotes from different verses from the Bhagavatam. And in that, in his quotes, he cites the Atmarama verse. So this famous verse, which is described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, seventh chapter, very beautiful verse. And Sarvabhauma wanted to hear what Lord Chaitanya had to say about this verse. By this time, he was completely fascinated by this sannyasi who, if you'll forgive the expression, had completely blown his mind. And so he said, Lord Chaitanya said to him, why don't you give your explanation first? So Sarvabhauma immediately, on the spot, he gave 9 different explanations. He explained the shloka in 9 different ways. And Lord Chaitanya glorified him. He said that there's no scholar like you in all the world. So then Sarvabhauma said, well, now, how about if you explain it? So Lord Chaitanya explained it in 64 different ways. So you can just imagine, that was the stretch, that was the limit of his capacity to explain the verse, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's capacity, to the furthest extent he could possibly handle it. He gave his explanation, and Lord Chaitanya glorified him for his explanation. And then Lord Chaitanya turned around and gave 64 explanations. So when he heard that, he was convinced, and this is the way Prabhupada describes it, Bhattacharya was convinced that such a scholarly presentation is impossible for an earthly creature. He calls him an earthly creature. So in other words, he was not human. I mean, of course, that could sound like an insult, I suppose, say someone's not human. But it means that he recognized this is some kind of extraordinarily divine being. And so he was so stunned. And then he started to realize, I've committed an offense. I've committed an offense. I've been taking a superior position and instructing this person, and he's actually, much more exalted than anything I could ever have imagined. He was, as we said before, he was rarely speechless. Here was this great, great scholar who had never been defeated by anybody, who was an expert in Nyaya, an expert in Vedanta. And this young sannyasi had just completely ripped him to shreds philosophically in a very nice way and told him that you've, in essence, telling him you've been wrong for a long time, for a very long time. So, but he was so impressed with Lord Chaitanya. But then he became nervous. Oh, I've offended this person. So immediately, He surrendered to Lord Chaitanya on the spot. He fell down and offered his obeisances, and he asked for forgiveness. And then it says out of his causeless mercy, Lord Chaitanya manifested before him first as four-handed Narayan, and then again as two-handed Lord Krishna with a flute in his hand. So I know this is in a sense this is unimaginable for us. But just imagine if you thought you were in a superior position to someone and were, instructing away, telling them, how they should be and how they should think and what the real philosophy of life is. And it turns out that you've been trying to instruct God. What a shock that would be. My friend was telling me this morning that remembers being on Sankirtan one time, and this person came up in ordinary clothing and began asking him questions about what they were up to. But it turned out they were some advanced devotee, and that didn't become clear immediately. So he was instructing away and then realized, oh. So this, of course, is a much more shocking event, just trying to imagine that you're instructing God, and then God reveals himself in a very merciful way. So He fell down at his feet, and then he began to compose all these verses, over 100 verses. He spontaneously, and just what a great scholar. It's a little bit like that pastime with Lord Chaitanya when he was a young man. What was this? Keshava Kashmiri. That he was also able to spontaneously compose verses in glorification of the Jamuna, which then Lord Chaitanya picked apart and described all the defects. So here, Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful. He just explained everything to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and then manifested his divine forms before his very eyes. So he composed his 100 shlokas in praise of the Lord. Then the Lord embraced him. And he lost consciousness. Not the Lord, but Bhattacharya lost consciousness of the physical state of life, Prabhupada describes. He lost consciousness of the physical state of life. Tears, trembling, throbbing of the heart, perspiration, emotional waves, dancing, singing, crying, and all the 8 symptoms of transcendental ecstasy were manifested in his body. Well, it so happened that Gopinath Acharya had arrived about this time. And he was amazed. Look at my brother-in-law. He's received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Just look at his behavior. He was so pleased. You know, and he didn't come up and, I mean, he reminded him later, well, I was trying to tell you. But not in a, you know, how I told you so. It wasn't like that. He was really genuinely pleased for him. And he felt tremendous happiness. All the associates of Lord Chaitanya, this is the nature of transcendental dealings, that a pure-hearted devotee, when someone has gained some wonderful fortune, they think, great, that is wonderful. Generally, you know, when I see somebody successful, I think, oh, no. And they're not even great like me. No, I don't really think that, but you know, there is a tendency to exhibit some kind of envy or jealousy if somebody is, you know, gets some extraordinary mercy. But they were all pleased. They were all ecstatic at his good fortune, and they had kirtan on the spot. So some days went by. Sarvabhauma was meeting the Lord every day, feeding, you know, making sure that he was given the best prasadam, and you know, he was just making every arrangement and trying to be of service in any way that he could think of. And he was a completely transformed person. He was just so happy and so blissful. And he was so happy that he had got the association of this great personality, this amazing, not just a great personality. It's hard to imagine how you would feel if you knew you had the association of God himself. It's kind of hard to imagine. I mean, at least the only thing I can relate to it is having the association of Prabhupada. You know, what if you had any anxieties, I know that Jai Lakshman, my godbrother, is here, and he always cites this, that if you came to Prabhupada, or you might have had so many anxieties and so many concerns, and as soon as Prabhupada would show up, they all went out the window. You didn't even notice you had any problems. You know, Prabhupada would always say, what is the difficulty? Well, when he was around, there didn't seem to be any. And then he would leave, and then the difficulties would come again. So there's no difficulty. He was just feeling so happy. So one day, he, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed these 2 verses on a leaf of a palm tree. This is a nice, because sometimes, you know, we think these verses, how were they preserved? And in this case, they wouldn't have been preserved had it not been for, anyway, I'm going to read it to you. He composed these 2 verses, and he gave this palm leaf to Jagannanda Prabhu. He gave them the palm leaf, and he asked him, you please deliver it to Lord Chaitanya. So Jagannanda and Damodar then returned to Lord Chaitanya, bringing him the prasadam, bringing prasad, because they always came with prasadam. Actually, this is the thing, when you go to visit somebody, it's a nice thing to do, because it's always welcome, generally. Anyway, they brought prasadam and this palm leaf on which the verses were composed. But when Mukunda Dutta saw that they had this palm leaf, he grabbed it. He took it from Jagannanda before he could deliver it to Lord Chaitanya. And then he went to the wall outside of the room and he wrote the verses on the wall. Because he had, premonition that Lord Chaitanya wasn't going to be entirely happy with these verses. Although internally he would be happy, but externally it wasn't his mood. So copied the verses on the wall, then Jagannanda took the palm leaf back and delivered it to Lord Chaitanya. As soon as Lord Chaitanya read these two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. Now you'll see why in a minute. But the devotees who read those verses committed them to memory and then later wrote them down so they were not lost. And it says they kept those verses within their hearts. So this is the first one. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartame. Wait, we can chant it together. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartame Ka Purushak Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhir Yastamahang Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. So he's directly stated that Lord Chaitanya is God, which wasn't his mood. He came in the mood of a devotee. So then the next verse, Kalan nashtang bhakti yogam nijam yaha pradushkartum krishna chaitanya nama avir bhutas tasya padaravinde gadam gadang liyatang chitta bringaha. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. So you can see that would probably irritate Lord Chaitanya also. It's kind of like revealing something that he didn't particularly want to be revealed. He wanted to teach as a devotee of Krishna. So this system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. So Prabhupada writes a purport. He says, he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Prabhupada writes, this is also the case with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the world as a disguised incarnation of Krishna. But his appearance is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, and other Vedic scriptures. He appeared in order to teach the fallen souls in this material world, for in this age of Kali, almost everyone has become attached to fruitive and ritualistic activities and mental speculation. Consequently, there was a great need to revive the system of devotional service. The Lord himself personally came down disguised as a devotee so that all the fallen populace might take advantage of the Lord's example. At the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, now this is an important point, Krishna talks about complete surrender to himself. That's at the concluding chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as you know. And he promises complete protection. So he says, you just surrender to me and I'll give you all protection. He even says how to be a devotee, manmana bhava mad bhakto, and so forth. He explains. But he says, Prabhupada writes, but unfortunately people are so fallen that they cannot accept the instructions of Lord Krishna. Therefore Krishna returned with the same mission, but he executed it in a different way. As Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, he ordered us to surrender unto himself. But as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He taught us how to surrender to Krishna. So his life's example was as a devotee, how to achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord, how to be his servant, how to be his sold-out servant. So therefore, he is praised by the Goswamis. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pridayate. So Lord Shri Krishna is certainly the personality of Godhead, but he is not as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Audharya, the magnanimity. He came in this magnanimous feature. Lord Krishna simply gave orders for one to become his devotee, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually taught the process of Krishna consciousness. If one wants to become a devotee of Krishna, he must first take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following in the footsteps of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and other exalted devotees. So this is also from the sixth chapter of the Madhya Lila. Now later on in their relationship, one day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Lord Chaitanya, and while they were discussing, he recited this particular verse from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, 8th verse, famous verse. And the verse is Tat te nukam pan susamikshamano. You know this verse? Anybody who knows it, you can chant along with me. Tat te nukam pan susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritang vipakam kridvag vapubir vidadhang namaste jiveta yo bhakti pade sadhaya bhak. Now he inserted bhakti pade. Yeah. Now the original verse is Mukti Pade, but he had inserted Bhakti Pade, which means in devotional service, because he didn't like the whole idea of Mukti. Now here is this great scholar who had been advocating Mukti, advocating the philosophy of Shankaracharya for so many years, and now he couldn't even stand to say the word, and he actually offered so many verses defeating that this verse needs to be rewritten. Because it says Mukti Pade. I don't like that. He says, actually, for a devotee, Mukti is like hell. It's like hell. And he gave so many other verses. I mean, he was a scholar. I mean, he gave so many great arguments. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, no. He explained that actually, Mukti Pade, it refers to Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Mukti Pade. He said, so therefore, it's fine. You don't have to change it. So even though Lord Chaitanya told him, no, it's perfectly all right the way it is. It can be understood in a different way. So Bhattacharya heard all of Lord Chaitanya's arguments. He said, I still don't like it. So when he said that, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased, he embraced him and began laughing because he was so pleased with his devotion. So in this way, he became the great staunch supporter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was his advisor. Actually, he advised Lord Chaitanya to go and meet Ramananda Roy. Lord Chaitanya at this point had not met Ramananda Roy. And he said, I used to have talks with Ramananda Roy. He came from a sort of lower grade background, and he is a government man. So I never took him very seriously. But now, after having met you, I understand that he's an exalted... I've never met anyone quite like him. He said, you should meet Ramananda Roy in your travels, because Lord Chaitanya wanted to do some travels. He was looking for his brother who had taken sannyas. And that was the external reason why he was going on these travels to South India. And when he announced to Sarvabhauma that he was going to, so to speak, hit the road, Sarvabhauma was very disturbed. And he said, all my life I've been, looking for you. Now I found you, now you're going to leave? And he gave such pitiful arguments that Lord Chaitanya agreed to stay for some more days. But finally, Lord Chaitanya came and said, you please give me your blessings now. Now, Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport in this regard. And he explains that generally the sannyasi gives blessings to others, but he doesn't necessarily receive blessings. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that if one is an exalted devotee of the Lord, he's in a position to give blessings to anyone. So Lord Chaitanya accepted Sarvabhauma as a great devotee, and he asked him for his blessings. And of course, Sarvabhauma gave them, and then Lord Chaitanya immediately left without looking back. They had to carry Sarvabhauma away. He was so overcome. He had to be carried away by his associates. So he became completely sold out to Lord Chaitanya, one of the great supporters, great friends. And just imagine, he was the personal pandit of King Prataparudra. And so, of course, there was that whole lila where King Prataparudra, the devotees are trying to encourage Lord Chaitanya to meet King Prataparudra. And anyway, there was a whole, that's another whole story. But in one of the final verses of the sixth chapter, this is described. So, iha ye shraddha kari karaye shravan, jnana karma pasha haite haya vimochan, achire milai tanre chaitanya charan. It means, if one hears with faith and love these pastimes concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he very soon is freed from the net of speculation and fruitive activity and attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. So maybe we can just repeat this. If one hears with faith and love these pastimes concerning Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his meeting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he very soon is freed from the net of speculation, and fruitive activity, and attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So, any questions?